And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. I have been gone all weekend. My schedule has been nothing like the president's, by the way, but it's been pretty busy. And anytime I start feeling sorry for myself, wow, I've got a lot to do. I look at what President Trump is doing and I think, shut up. get to it. Let's go. This man is like a juggernaut. I mean, he's speaking four and five times a day. And folks, I am not someone who is inexperienced. Well, folks, I am he. Sorry about that false start there. A little technical problem before we could get started. But I'm with you, and I'm glad to be with you. I hope you're having a great day. This is, again, the day the Lord has made, right? So we can be glad and rejoice in it. And I'm rejoicing anyway. I don't know what that little glitch was, but it took me several reboots to get my equipment operating properly. But look, glad to have you with us. Thank you for praying for us. You know, your prayers at moments like that, believe me, make all the difference. So thank you all very, very much. And you know what? Wow, I was so busy dealing with our technical problems. I haven't even signed on yet to our Facebook Live program. I'm going to do that here in a second. But before I get to that, I just want to let you know, if you haven't heard yet, breaking news, that Rudy Giuliani has had his apartment searched by the FBI, apparently for alleged crimes with regard to some relationship that he had with Ukraine. This is something that's been an ongoing issue, and accusations have been leveled against him that he was doing lobbying without the necessary authorization or notifications and this sort of thing. I'm not sure where all of that is going or where it's coming from, but I will say this. And by the way, full disclosure, I'm no fan of Rudy Giuliani. I've never been very enamored of him. I think he was a good New York mayor. He is not a Christian conservative, as I would define one. He is pro-choice, at least last time I checked, and he is pro-same-sex marriage and all of that. So he's really not my kind of conservative. So it's not like I have an axe to grind in defending him, or he and I are some kind of allies or friends, or I'm in agreement with him or anything like that. But I'll tell you what really concerns me about this, aside from the fact that he's a human being, obviously, and you don't ever want to see people get into this kind of difficulty because it is painful. I talked to a friend of mine, Jerome Corsi, who was under FBI investigation during the whole Trump collusion thing that was going on, and they tried to get him to admit to things he did not do and to implicate other people for things that they had not done. And he simply wouldn't do it. And they threatened him with indictment and all of that, but he and his wife agreed, we're simply not doing it. We didn't do anything wrong, and we're not doing that. And so ultimately the case went away. They were persecuting the man, hoping to get him to say what they wanted him to say. And when he wouldn't do it, they had to just back off. Actually, this was the special counsel, Robert Mullins, not the FBI per se. Of course, they were using FBI agents in their investigation. Look, here's what concerns me most about this. And this is very, very serious. You know, the Democrat Party and the left does not have a good track record when it comes to their willingness to use prosecutorial power to hurt or destroy the people they don't like or agree with. That is so contrary to everything this country stands for that I simply can't state that strongly enough. But they have done it, and they've done it repeatedly. Let me give you one example. This person I do know, Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay is a friend of mine. Tom DeLay was majority whip for the United States Congress. They called him the hammer. He could come down hard. He knew how to get those votes lined up. But Tom DeLay is a decent Christian man, not out to hurt anybody. And they put that man through the ringer for 10 years of prosecutions and threats of prosecution. They ruined his career. They practically destroyed him financially. I think he's doing fine now, but they practically destroyed him financially because, of course, it can take millions of dollars to defend against that kind of onslaught. And guess what happened in the end? There was nothing. There was nothing, folks. 10 years they put him through that. And he was ultimately exonerated. He had engaged in no wrongdoing. Now, I have to tell you, it shakes me to the core to think that my country would degenerate into one in which the courts and the criminal justice system gets used to try to put people in prison because you don't like them, because you don't agree with them. And that is my concern about this prosecution. If that's what they're doing, because they don't like Rudy Giuliani, they don't like the fact that he was defending President Trump, they don't like it because he's a Republican, they don't like it because of his politics or his policies or whatever. Folks, that is so contrary to everything this country stands for, that I can't even begin to express just how dangerous that is. But here again, that's the direction in which the left is trying to take us. Because think about the prosecutions of President Trump. Think about the efforts to the ongoing accusations. And they want to talk about conspiracy theories. The left always, the Democrats, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, like on elections. That's a conspiracy theory. No, I just talked yesterday to Ken Blackwell on my conference call. Ken Blackwell is an internationally known expert on elections. He was Secretary of State of Ohio. He was on the President's Election Integrity Commission. He is on an international body that oversees elections in foreign countries and helps countries to set up fair and free elections to choose their representatives. So this man is an expert. And contrary to what the left always tells us, there are thousands upon thousands of instances of attempted fraud and attempted shenanigans with our elections. Why the left thinks that in a fallen world where people are imperfect anyway and often prone to do wrong, that somehow the elections are pristine. There's no evidence of any widespread fraud in our elections. There's no evidence of any fraud. Our elections are good. I mean, they're lying through their teeth. They ought to know better. And if that's what this is all about, punishing Rudy, I brought that up to say that basically you deny reality in order to gore your opponents. And if that's what this is all about, whether Rudy Giuliani, even if he is pristine, they don't care. They just want to get him. And now that the Biden administration is in power, he's on their target list. I mean, we're hearing talk about people being banned from flying, being put on no-fly zones because they're not in agreement with liberal ideology, leftist ideology. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous road for us to be going down. You've heard me say repeatedly, I don't want our country degenerating into violence. I don't want that. I oppose that with every fiber of my being. But I often think that that's where the left wants to take us, so that it gives them an opportunity to use the functions of government and law enforcement to crack down on people. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. With all the current emphasis on the environment, you might be tempted to ask, what happened to the Green New Deal? The simple answer is, it's being implemented under the guise of infrastructure. And don't take my word for it. Consider what Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said about the bill before Congress. She laments that some parts of the party try to avoid saying Green New Deal and really dance around and try not to use the term. Ultimately, though, she says the framework, I think, has been adopted. Although a small part of the bill deals with what most of us would consider infrastructure, more than half of it is focused on reducing CO2 by eliminating fossil fuels and promoting green investments. Billions are set aside to build and retrofit homes and businesses with energy-efficient programs like the Weatherization Assistance Program. Economists looking at that program estimate that the initial cost to retrofit all these buildings will be more than double any possible energy savings. And perhaps the greatest irony in all of this is who ultimately benefits from these federal expenditures. The green energy credits will enrich corporations and hedge funds already invested in green energy projects. Even big oil will benefit since they will receive investment credits for carbon capture and other green energy projects. You know, the president and other proponents have been hyping the legislation by saying it will create millions of green jobs. But you know, attempts to end any reliance on fossil fuels in the near future will likely destroy many more of those existing jobs in the oil and gas industry. So the Green New Deal is alive and well. It's merely hidden in existing legislation. I'm Kirby Anderson. And that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
You shall not murder. This is Ken Ham, CEO of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and Ark Encounter. Nearly half of professing believers in the U.S. think the Bible is ambiguous on abortion. So I'd like to share some very unambiguous Bible verses with them. Genesis 9 verse 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." Proverbs 6, "The Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood." Exodus 20 verse 13, "You shall not murder." When the sperm and egg come together, a person is formed with a unique combination of genetic information. Nothing new is added. Everything that makes you is there from that moment. Yes, a fertilized egg is a person made in God's image, and the Lord hates the shedding of innocent blood.
Get more answers when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com and subscribe to receive free daily email insights from Ken Ham when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Dr. Fauci wants Americans in masks until the end of time. Biden won't secure our border, but does want to help Guatemalans secure theirs. The Washington Post has shut down its fact-checking of Joe Biden because he's not a liar like Trump. And Biden wants to spend your money doing experiments with aborted baby body parts. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. I was talking about this search of Rudy Giuliani's apartment. And as I've said before, I mean, I've never been a big fan of Rudy Giuliani. I think he did a decent job as mayor of New York, certainly better than this guy who's now mayor is doing, is he's a Castro devotee, a disciple of Fidel Castro. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, the guy actually loved Fidel Castro, went to Cuba on numerous occasions and was just in love with the man, just thought, you know. So anybody who's an admirer of Fidel Castro, that tells you all you need to know, right? But I'm no fan of Rudy Giuliani per se, but this idea that the Biden administration and its Justice Department could be engaged in a political vendetta and using the criminal justice system to do it is a very, very dangerous proposition. They're talking about taking people and putting them on a no-fly zone because, in fact, my understanding is some of the people who showed up at the Trump rally on January 6th but didn't engage in any of the violence, didn't engage in going into the Capitol or anything like that, but that some of those people may be facing a no-fly list and not being able to fly. This is a very dangerous road for our country. It really is, because what the left is trying to do, in my view, is they're trying to change us from a nation of laws to a nation of leftist whims. So that whatever they say goes, not what the law says, whatever they say goes. You see this unfolding with, and I'm talking to my Facebook Live audience because I was a little bit delayed in getting them on. We had a little technical problem getting our radio system up, and I was busy dealing with that, so I didn't have time to bring in the visual audience, but they're with me now. But we're talking about Rudy Giuliani and the fact that all of a sudden now he's under threat of perhaps being put in prison. And look, if the man has committed crimes, that's one thing, okay? That's one thing. I don't make any excuses for people if they're doing something wrong. I say whether it's police, who I support police, but if a police officer is doing something wrong, he's got to face the music the same way any other citizen would. Same is true for Rudy Giuliani. That's the beauty of our country. You're not supposed to get a pass because of your status or your position or your money or your power. The law is supposed to apply equally to all of us. Now, I know that we haven't done that perfectly, but I think we continue to strive toward that. So I'm not making excuses for Rudy Giuliani. That's why I said at the beginning, it's not like I'm a fan, like I'm a big admirer of Rudy Giuliani. I want to defend him. But what I want to defend is the rule of law. The rule of law. And we're having the same problem at the border, where people are crossing the border illegally, and our federal government and our president, in defiance of his oath of office to the Constitution of the United States, and to the laws of the United States, is facilitating people breaking the law and entering our country illegally. And we're supposed to applaud that. In fact, he's about to open up the money floodgates for all these sanctuary cities and give them a lot more money so they can invite more illegal aliens in. This is lawlessness. And unfortunately, it's running through our country like a poison through the body politic. And yeah, I was thinking about this morning and thinking about the things that I was going to share with you today. And I thought to myself, if you follow their logic, why don't we say to people, look, if you don't have any food, it's okay to go rob a grocery store. Just go take what you want. And we'll look the other way. If you don't have any money, it's okay to go rob a bank. Just do it. And we'll just look the other way. In fact, we'll create sanctuary robbery towns and cities where all the robbers can go and enjoy the fruits of their robbery and their theft and enjoy themselves and be unharmed. Well, now, Bishop Jackson, the illegal immigrants are not robbers. Well, I tell you what. They are violators of American law. They are stealing their way into this country. And I'm not saying any more than anybody else would say. President Trump didn't say this either, even though he was accused of it. I'm not saying every person who crosses the border is an illegal, is a MS-13 member. I'm not saying every person who crosses the border is a drug dealer, a drug mule, or a human trafficker. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. But here's the bottom line. Even if, aside from breaking our law, you are a model citizen, you don't have a right to be here. It is simply that plain and that stark. You don't have a right to be here. And your being here is in itself a violation of American law. And those who sanction that and approve of that and encourage that are telling us our laws don't matter. They simply don't matter. But the word of God says lawlessness abounds because the love of many grows cold. And you know what? How I interpret that in this case? The love of power is what allows lawlessness to abound. Because they don't love people, they love power. And getting people in this country to ultimately empower them, and I think, here again, what I think what the Democrats are going for is a one-party state. I think that's what they really want. And getting people in here by hook, by crook, by stealth, by deception, by whatever, you use human traffickers, use drug dealers, whatever you need to use to get people in here, get them in here, because ultimately they're going to redound to the political benefit of the Democrat Party, and who cares about the rest? Who cares about the country for that matter? See, here again, when power is your God, anything goes. And by the way, let's add a corollary to that. When power is your God, people don't matter. When power is your God, people don't matter. It's a hard thing to get some people to understand, but look, these leftists don't care about these illegal immigrants. Are you kidding me? You've got young girls being raped. You've got kids being trafficked. You've got kids being used and manipulated by drug dealers and cartels. And you've got billions of dollars being made off an industry of getting people illegally across our border. And the left could care less. And those people aren't free when they get here. In many cases, they become the slaves of the drug cartels or the human trafficking organizations that are responsible for getting them here. And they don't care about any of that. I've said this repeatedly. They don't care about people. They don't care about these young children dying in the inner cities of our country. They don't care. If you help them get power, then you are useful. And if you don't, you are disposable. And it is just that plain and simple. I heard Larry Elder saying a little earlier that they also think, for example, particularly for minority people in our country, Americans of African or Hispanic or Asian descent, particularly those who are poor, those who are at the margins economically, they either think that they're too stupid or simply too compromised to understand that all of this takes jobs away from Americans who need them, drives down wages, and destabilizes communities. But they think, here again, because they don't think about people. Look, the way the left thinks is the way Karl Marx thought about people. People aren't sacred individuals made by God in his image and his likeness because he rejected the existence of God. They aren't people who God loves and that we love and that each is a unique creation of Almighty God. No, no. They're one mass. They're the proletariat. Or in the case of the American left today, they're the black people. Or they're the Asian people. Or you glob them all together and you try to make a concept out of this. They're the people of color. They're not individuals. Because they don't think in terms of the sacredness of each and the uniqueness of each individual. They don't think that way. See, and that's why destroying individuals is easy, because the individual doesn't matter in the Marxist way of thinking. The individual doesn't matter. Only the masses, only the proletariat, only the collective matters. And folks, we have got something on our hands if the left, and by the way, remember this, George Soros is crazy like a fox. I mean, I think the man is mad with evil. And when I say mad, I don't mean mad, angry, maybe that too, but I mean mad like insane, like he's not all there. Evil has taken over. And he is buying prosecutors who basically are given instructions to let criminals go. And so you further destabilize communities. You get more women raped. You get more people shot and killed. You get more robberies. That doesn't make any sense on any rational basis, other than if that's what it takes to get and keep power. You know, like Mao said, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, meaning if you got to kill a few million people, what's the difference? Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Gilbert West was a noted author and educator in England. Sir Edward Lyttelton was a famous English jurist and among the leaders in the English intellectual world. They shared one thing in common. Both were avowed skeptics, and both not only doubted the validity of the way of Christ, but were openly opposed to it. The two men met to determine what course of action they could best take to rid the world of this religion of a madman. After much study and debate, they decided that the best way to get rid of this fairyland faith would be to destroy its basis, its principles, its teachings. They arrived at the conclusion that two parts of the teachings of Christianity should be destroyed above everything else, and that after these were torn down, all the other teachings would come crumbling also. According to these two men, the two beliefs that needed destroying in order to destroy Christianity were the resurrection of its founder and the change of life of its greatest proclaimer, Paul. West took upon himself the task of doing away with the resurrection, and Lyttelton had the job of proving that there was never a changing experience in the life of Paul. Shaking hands, they parted to go their way and do their job. When they met again, it was agreed, they would have enough evidence to put an end, once and for all time, to this crazy teaching of the Christian faith. You know, there have been down through the years countless others who have attempted to do what Gilbert West and Edward Lyttelton set out to do. This Galilean has been ridiculed, shamed, mocked, and envied for nearly 2,000 years. Individuals and nations have thrown their full weight and power into the battle to destroy him and his way of life. Some of the best minds in all the world have opposed his way and his followers. People have used his name to curse and his cause to kill. Somehow, through it all, despite all that the combined forces of millions of men could do against him, he still calls to the hearts of men. We can take him out of history books, but we can't take him out of history. We can take men away from him, but we can't take him away from men. We can take him out of our home, but we cannot get him out of our hearts. Following a year of research and study to prove their point, Gilbert West and Edward Lyttelton met to compare their findings and set about on their self-appointed task. West was surprised when Lyttelton told him that as a result of his research, he had become a follower of the Christ. And Lyttelton was equally surprised when West told him that he too had taken up the way of the cross because of his study. Two men who set out to destroy Christianity both became Christians after making a serious study of the faith. You know, one had better be careful about taking this man of Galilee serious. You might just end up following him.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I wanted to get your calls in. I want to get a couple, two or three in this segment and continue with your calls right to the end because I want to hear what you all have to say about this. Are you concerned about this? I think about changes to gun laws, trying to make us all criminals. The magazine you have is too big. That gun is outlawed. You got to turn that in. I mean, is that where we're headed? Are we looking at the left trying to concoct a situation in which they can put as many people as possible in jail? I have to ask the question. Now, we'll see what happens with this Rudy Giuliani thing. Newsweek, by the way, you all can check this out, but Newsweek wrote a story about something I said, I think, on the program yesterday. I talked about the fact that I thought that Black Lives Matter is a worse infection than COVID because COVID will run its natural course and Black Lives Matter could poison the culture of our country for a generation. And I mean that. I'm not backing off of that at all because I think we are at a time in our country when we should be coming together across all racial and cultural lines around the values that made this nation great and the things that we want for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren if Jesus tarries. And you got Black Lives Matter under the leadership of a confirmed Marxist running around telling the country how wicked and white supremacist we are while she goes around and buys. She was looking at a home down in the Bahamas in a neighborhood where the homes run an average of $4 or $5 million apiece. She's really oppressed, isn't she? Ooh, whoa, wow. Oh, boy, I tell you, that must be tough. That must be really tough. Well, look, I want to say this, and I'll come to your calls. You have to remember who we're dealing with. That's why it's so important for us to remain in prayer. That's why American Family Radio is so important. That's why this program and others are on our network are so very, very important. Because we come to these things with a biblical perspective that the world doesn't know or understand, and you certainly are not going to get in the mainstream media. Now, Newsweek went after me because of what I had to say, but I think every bit of it was justified. This country is never going to be a Marxist country, and I am not going to sit by while these airheads run around trying to divide our country and try to keep put us at each other's throats when we, the American people, are really not the problem and don't have a problem with each other. They're the ones who have a problem with America. So if anybody needs to go, they need to go. I mean, you know what I mean, leave the country. But look, Proverbs 24, 17 and 18 say this, and this is why we have to pray and believe God and work, because we are at a natural disadvantage. The natural disadvantage is we are not mean. We are not nasty. We are not ugly. We are not murderous. We are not vengeful, because as Christians, we operate in the ethic of love, forgiveness, caring, concern. They don't. The left does not, because they rejected God. Destroying Rudy Giuliani or you or me or anybody else is just fine with them as long as it gets them where they want to go. See, destroying somebody who disagrees with me is not fine with me, because I've got to stand before God one day. And here's what Proverbs 24, 17 and 18 says. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him, because God doesn't want to give you the satisfaction of gloating over the destruction of another human being. Wow. Now, you know what? Newsweek won't write about that. All these left-wing rags, they won't write about that. What I just quoted you, that's how I live. I believe that. They won't write about that, because they're too busy painting me and others like me as, you know, in fact, they're far right-wing and they're, you know, And they don't know, they don't understand that we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, even for those who oppose us. Because we don't want to destroy them, we want to win them. You say, well, then why are you, sometimes you're just bold and harsh? Because you gotta wake these people up. It's like I said, if somebody was about to walk out in front of a bus, you wouldn't say, forgive me, I don't mean to interrupt you. I hope I'm not offending you by saying this, but you're about to get killed. You don't, right? I mean, would you? Now you say, hey, get out of the way. And when you first do that, they might look, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are you accosting me? And then they realize, oh, wow, you saved my life. Thank you. That's what we're about here. We're not about destroying our fellow Americans. We're about trying to persuade them that they're destroying themselves. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Lydia in Mississippi. Lydia, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I have a quick question. Sure. Have not heard anything about this in months and months and months. What has happened to the Durham report? I call myself watching and listening, and I keep thinking about these millions and millions of dollars that was poured into that. I've been trying to read, listen to, and I thought, well, I need to ask the bishop if he knows what happened. Is it still ongoing, or they have just taken the money and run. And I will hang up and listen to you, my friend. Thank you.
Well, Lydia, thank you for the call. And Lydia, the answer is we haven't heard anything about it. And I could hazard a guess, but remember, folks, this is only a guess. My guess is it's going to fade away. Because now that President Trump is out of office, they have, the deep state has stepped in. Who knows what threats have been made against Durham? And I don't mean physical threats. I don't mean threats on his life. You know, that could be happened too. But I'm talking about, you know, threats to his career, threats to his future. You know, all these people want to be accepted. They are part of an elite group, and this crosses party lines. And so I don't mean to disparage the man's character. I think it takes a special person to resist the pressure that these folks come under. And that's why I believe that President Donald Trump is such a special person, because he was able to resist that pressure. And the more he resisted, the madder they got. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll have our crack research team here at American Family Radio see what we can find out about it. But it's I think it's been buried. Thank you for the call, Lydia. Let's go to Essence in Texas. Now, Essence, you have an unforgettable name. So when I see your name, I know it's you. So glad to hear from you again.
Hey, Bishop. Hey, with the homosexual unions, not marriage, that have been legalized, we know more is coming. I had a dream, Bishop, that thousands of sexual predators and other heinous acts were let out of prison because of the changes in laws going on now. I also see an argument for prisoner reparations, and I'm hoping not. And also, have you noticed Jen Psaki answering questions to the Serpent News by responding with, "The president is saying to the world," or "The president is showing the world," not even "our president," but "the president"? And it sounds like Biden is showing Lucifer his dedication and saying his theme, "Bring everyone together," like a mental oath commitment.
Yeah,
I'm seeing up the road, Bishop, like these, like other people like me, the chaos coming quickly, and the real pandemic isn't the Wuhan flu. Now, last thing I'm going to say to you, sir, I have to go be less white now. Have a blessed day, Peter Bishop.
Thank you, Essence. Thank you for the call. Essence, may I say, for you and for our entire audience, be just as white as you want to be, Essence. I mean, oh my goodness, folks. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, but Essence, of course, was being funny to illustrate the absurdity of this nonsense of everybody being evaluated on the basis of the color of our skin rather than the content of our character. Very, very good, Essence. Oh, wow. I think I'm going to have to wait until we come back to take some more calls. But you all stand by. We'll get back to you right after the break. Yeah, look, Essence, what can I say? I think we're being governed by globalists. I think they have more allegiance to some sort of global world concept that they've got than they do to our country. And that's a pretty sad state of affairs. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here's another of our core values. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. Thank you for standing with AFA, and we thank you for your support.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn not only shares heartbeats, but shares hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a preborn center, she was scared and not sure she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. You can be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. For $140, sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and pictures of babies' lives that were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. Your gift is tax deductible.
It takes a lot of discipline to renew your mind.
Sarah Smith on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I think there were weeks that every hour I was praying Romans 12:2. And over time, the Lord began to transform my heart and my mind, and I wasn't being conformed to fear and frustration and anger. And I was able to discern how to respond. You know, we teach our kids to be slow to speak, quick to listen. And when you're going through this, you're quick to speak and respond. And you really do need the power of the Holy Spirit and His fruits to help you be slow to speak, quick to listen, and to be able to pour out His love and see your loved one through His lens.
More from Sarah at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, we're in the last segment. I tried to get all of you in, and we're going to do that this time as well. The number is 888-589-8840. And if you all keep your comments brief and get to your point, I'll try to move right on to the next person so we get everybody on. I want to remind you, say to you, because I don't think I've ever said this before, but we are starting something called Youth Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny. Youth Staying True to America's National Destiny. If you're a young person, you're a teenager, you're in your 20s, or even your 30s, or even your 40s, if you are a younger person, please get in touch with me. I want to talk to you because we've got to raise up a new generation that will help bring this country out of this mess, because I believe we are in a generational fight. This is not, unless God intervenes divinely and supernaturally fairly quickly, we are not going to solve this. This is not going to be solved by people my age. I think we can start the process of solving it, but I think it's going to take a younger generation to inherit the mantle from us and take it on home. So young people, get in touch with me. You can email me at ewj@standamerica.us. ewj@standamerica.us. Okay, let's come right back to your calls. Let's go to John in North Carolina. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bishop. I appreciate you taking my call, brother. I got so many things to say, but I'll try to keep it brief. I am a Messianic Jew, and okay. My people are originally from Germany. I've served in Germany. I was in Germany before, during, and after the wall came down.
Wow.
And I was yards away from communism. I've seen it firsthand. And people don't realize what is coming down the pipe. And it's a big picture, if people can get the big picture. And you hit on one of the guys that a lot of Messianic Jews and Orthodox Jews are almost more leery of than even a radicalized Muslim, is an atheist Jew, Marxist Jew, like George Soros and Karl Marx. They are very dangerous. And
they're not dangerous, John, because they're Jewish. They're simply dangerous because of what they believe. Of course, they're fools because they reject their true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But go ahead. Just wanted to clarify that. Go ahead.
Yep. And one other thing, and I could give you an example. My brother-in-law's from Venezuela, and they left before Hugo Chavez came to power. Venezuela was number 5 economic power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I am telling you, he's still got aunts, uncles, cousins, and they are literally, like you occasionally hear it in the news, they don't report it that much, eating dogs and cats and even breaking in zoos and so on.
Wow.
And eating wow. those animals to stay alive is no joke.
I know, John. John, thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. And you know what? People who have experienced what you've experienced, John, and others who have experienced communism in its full-blown form, they can see exactly where the Democrats are going. And Americans, for some reason, are blind to it. You and I see it. And I've never lived in a communist country, but I can see it. But so many Americans have been so indoctrinated in our public schools and colleges and universities that they just can't. And by the media, by the way, I didn't get a chance to get into that. Maybe I will tomorrow, but by the media as well. Okay, let's go to Allie in Louisiana. Allie, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll just take a minute. I've tried to get on your show before, and I just never did get it.
But well, I'm glad you're on today, Allie. I'm glad you made it.
I'm an old woman, and I've been through a lot. And my dad was killed in World War II when I was a baby. But as I look at things and I see where we are today as a nation, I go to 2 Chronicles 7, 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. and in that, and it's a very common verse, but it says, and my people, God mm-hmm. is talking, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And then it says, now my eyes shall be opened, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. That's
Amen.
The answer to all of
Amen.
Our problems.
You're right. You're right, Allie. You're absolutely right. And that's why, if you heard me at the opening of the program, I said, this is why we've got to pray, because this situation has metastasized. It is beyond what any one person, one organization, even this great network, and we're blessed. I mean, we've got a lot of people listening to this program, to this network, I should say. And yet we know alone, we can't do it. It's going to take the intervention of Almighty God. And you're right. Prayer is absolutely the key, Allie. And that's why I remain hopeful for the future of our country. Allie, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Donna in Texas. Donna, welcome.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Look, I have a couple of things to say. First of all, Patrice Cullors is buying up property, and she's not done, and she's buying it for the Communist Party. She's taking the hit, excuse me, in the media and everything, but she don't care. They're looking at us as useful idiots, and they're moving into these neighborhoods, and they're going to take over. And also, we have got to wake up. The church has got to get involved.
Yes.
In some kind of, we're all into programs, quote unquote. Well, we need to get programs so that people can yank their kids out of these schools and do some kind of homeschooling, and all these churches that are laying dormant and open and empty across our nation. We've got former teachers, educators. We need to get some programs together so people can afford to have their children educated and not indoctrinated
Amen.
With the Bible.
Amen. Donna, you are so right. Look, thank you for the call. My wife spearheaded starting a school. We call it the Maximum Potential Christian Academy in our church, precisely to do exactly what you just suggested, Donna. We've got to use the resources available to us to save our children. And you're right, BLM is evil. It is evil, period. And I know people will rail hearing me say that, but it is the truth. And I hear again, that's one of the things Newsweek got all upset about, because I said, are they shilling for communist China? I want to know. I mean, she's a Marxist. They're Marxists. Is that where her real loyalty lies? I say it probably does. She clearly doesn't have any loyalty to the United States of America. Okay, let's go to Seth in Missouri. Seth, welcome.
Hey, W. Happy to be on with your program. Hey, quick story. I am American of European descent, and back when I was 16, my buddy George and I would go fishing almost every Saturday morning. Live in the inner city of St. Louis, and just so happened we were playing some music and with the windows down at 3 in the morning, and a African-American policeman pulled me over, and he told me if I didn't turn my radio down quick enough, he was going to shoot me dead. And my first reaction was not, wow, this guy's a racist. It was, this guy's a jerk.
And
I've noticed growing up in the inner city, including being thrown into the public school system, it's a sin problem, just like you say on your program all the time, not a race problem. And all the mistreatment from people that I've received, yeah, some of it could be racism, but it all goes back to the same core issue, yeah, which is they're not, yeah, doing what the Bible says to do, which is love your neighbor as yourself. So I get really annoyed with all this. You know, I have a lot of family members that have racial obsession syndrome, and it drives me nuts.
Okay, Seth. Well, Seth, they need the antidote. The antidote to racial obsession syndrome is a good dose of the Holy Ghost to give them a revelation that God is the one who made us all, loves us all, and he didn't make us of different complexion so we could be divided and hateful of each other because we don't all have exactly the same complexion. I mean, So Seth, God bless you, man. Thank you. And look, you're right. I can tell you when I was in the streets of Chester, Pennsylvania, I saw some police deal with some friends of mine who were still fairly young, you know, 9-10 years old, but we were doing things we had no business doing. And I saw some rough behavior. Thank God I avoided that treatment, but I witnessed it. And guess who was doing it? Black cops to black kids. So there you go. I mean, it's not the skin, it's the sin. Okay, let's see if we can get to David in Mississippi. David, you've been waiting a long time. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Bishop. Love your show. I've been listening to it for a couple of years since I moved from California to Mississippi. Anyway, I just want to say, okay, facts do not mean anything to these leftists.
No.
You know, you could show them all the statistics you want. You can just point. They're just blind. They do not want to hear what they do not want to hear. What kind of woke me up years ago was when they started calling people like yourself white supremacist. That kind of blew me away. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's not a white. How could he be a white supremacist? It just, you know, it didn't make any kind of rational sense. You know what I mean? I think Christians like me, I'm waking up a lot faster now than I ever have. I got saved 2 years ago.
Amen. Amen, David. That's wonderful.
You know, just been praying and waking up, and I was just talking to a liberal.
All right, David, you're breaking up on us. You know what? I think we're going to stop there because Tom, I'd love to get you on, but there's just not going to be very much time. And David, you were breaking up, but you got your idea across, David, and I really do appreciate it. Look, folks, I've had worse things than that said about me. A friend of mine said that a fairly prominent political person in an area I happened to be living in at the time told a friend of mine, well, you know, E.W. Jackson hates black people. You know, right? I'm saying. I mean, And you're right. It's, first of all, I don't hate anybody. I really don't. I don't hate anybody. But why would I think that way? Because I didn't agree with their prescriptions of more government, more welfare, more claims of discrimination, as opposed to development from within, seeking God, seeking to fulfill your God-given potential and talents and ability. That's what I want for all people, and I love everybody. Certainly don't hate black folks, but that's the craziness you get. Folks, that's going to do it for today. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.